Welcome to Doing Life with Dr. Deb, the voice for the Christian community, a place for real people living real life. And now here's your host, Dr. Deb Waterbury.
Welcome to Doing Life with Dr. Deb, the voice for the Christian community. This is your host, Dr. Deb Waterbury. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am joined in studio by my husband, Jeff.
Oh, again, you remember me.
Well, you're sitting right there. I know I have forgotten you before.
You have.
But you're right there.
Hello, dear.
Hello, darling. And we're also joined in studio by Kent Kiefer. Hi, Kent.
Hello, Deb and Jeff.
I've been so excited to have Kent here. He's from Scriptures and Youth.
Kent acknowledged me.
He did.
Usually, the people who you have on here don't even talk to me.
You are pitiful.
Hey, what an honor to be here today.
I know. Oh. We have been, honestly, I've been hyping you up. I have over the last couple of weeks because I've been excited.
All right.
Because this is one amazing ministry, Scriptures and Youth. I mean, Jeff and I've just been sitting here sharing with Kent for the last 30 minutes, and we're about ready to go with you. Next time y'all go, we're just about ready to
That's
just
great. We're ready.
Up
to, we're ready to take it. Lord's work.
This is an amazing ministry. You guys are about to be in for it for the next hour to hear some wonderful work, aren't they, Jeff?
Yes.
This
yes.
is spectacular stuff. So put on your seatbelts. And you know what? We have the phone lines will be open the whole time. If you have questions for Kent, you can give us a call, 520-790-5663. That's 520-790-5663. And as always, if you want to tweet us, you don't really want to talk, you can tweet us at Dr. Deb Waterbury, or you can Facebook message us, private message us at the Doing Life with Dr. Deb Facebook page. You can just go on over there and either like us or follow us there at that page. Join about 5,000 of your closest friends.
They're not close, really.
They might be close.
I doubt
Well, some of them might be.
Maybe.
They might be.
I doubt it.
Well, they might be. And they can go on over there and do that, Jeff. Quit interrupting me. I'm never going to actually acknowledge you again. That's it. So, yes, you can go on over there, and once you do that, you get to know all the latest stuff about the Doing Life with Dr. Deb show. We tell you what's going to be on that night. I'll give you all the information, like we'll have follow-up stuff about Kent and about Scriptures and Youth. So if you want to know how you can get involved afterwards, if you miss information, then obviously I'll put it on that Facebook page. So it's a good place to be able to get information anyway. So you'll want to go over there and like and follow us at Doing Life with Dr. Deb. And if you just don't want to talk on the phone, that's a good place to private message us during the show. I've got it up on my iPad so I can be able to see anything that you might want to message right there. But we really do prefer to hear from you. So 520-790-5663. And as always, if you have a prayer request, please feel free to interrupt us at any moment, because we will interrupt everything and pray for you on air. Remember that next Tuesday, our For Tucson Tuesday guest is going to be Sue Baird from Care Portal. We're looking forward to talking to Sue about Care Portal. I was embarrassed to know I didn't know about Care Portal, but do you know about Care Portal? Yeah.
Of course.
You do not. You got a blank look.
Care Portal.
What do you mean?
Care Portal.
It's a great, wonderful ministry for churches. Don't act like you knew what it was either. So, yes, Care Portal is a great ministry for churches. So I'm looking forward to having Sue here on Tuesday as well. So I want to just – actually, I'm going to do something unheard of here.
Yes, this is. And it won't last long.
I know.
I know it won't.
I told
That's
Kent.
Okay, though. It's fine.
I'm going to try really hard.
Right.
To turn this
I finally get a chance to talk. But I don't really want to do much talking, right? Because what Kent has to share is amazing to hear what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So without further ado, Kent. So, you know, I don't know enough about Scriptures and Youth, SIU.
Yes.
So can you just kind of tell us what is it and what is it doing?
Mm, thank you, Jeff. Scriptures and Youth is really all about equipping and training local and regional, I'd call them indigenous leaders worldwide, to share the stories of the Bible in their native mother tongue heart language so they can evangelize, make disciples, and plant churches. And they are living in oral cultures, a lot of them. It's amazing when you plant the Word of God into an indigenous leader, a man or woman of peace, how it becomes, if they hear the Word of God in their own language, it becomes their God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not somebody else's God.
Right.
It's their God.
Right.
And some of the things I'm going to share with you are just, it's amazing. It's God's work, and it works wherever we go.
Mm.
Amen. And so this is different. than what we're used to in missions, right? I mean, from what I'm used to. So tell us the big difference, right?
Yeah,
what is different between what we would think a missionary would do and what SIU would do, and how the people react?
That's great. The distinctives of scriptures in use. So oral communication. People ask, what is orality?
And morality?
yeah, that's good. We kind of know what that is here a little bit, right? And a moral compass and living our lives according to pleasing God. But orality and the orality movement. Let me describe that. Orality is a preference or reliance on oral communication learning styles. Mm. So when I say that, we call it the oral arts at Scriptures News. It's storytelling, drama, dance, music, song. And those are ways that people express themselves to pass knowledge and information. And a lot of these cultures around the world, Africa, Asia, Central America, Latin America, the Middle East, that's the way they've done it for hundreds, even thousands of years.
Right, right.
And what's amazing is, I would tell you, the whole earth, there's over 7,100 languages and thousands of dialects. Not all of them are fully literate or even semi-literate. A lot of these remaining unreached and unengaged people groups are living in oral cultures. Mm. And so when I say unreached, that's a term that missions and mission organizations, and it's less than 2% of that population are believers or evangelical. And the unengaged term is actually you don't have a full-time Christian working living there or an established church in that area. And so I'm going to share some stats with you that are pretty boggling. When I say that, there's 7.4 billion people on this earth right now. That's the estimate from Joshua Project. We have other groups like the International Rowdy Network and the Issachar Initiative and the Joshua Project that do a lot of research. These remaining unreached, unengaged people groups are actually probably close to 3 to 3.5 billion of
what?
That 7.4, yes. That's
almost half.
Yeah, so that have never heard the Word of God. In their own language, or let's just say, they haven't been reached. And a lot of them, we've got about 1.8 billion Muslims in the world. A lot of them are Muslim. But it's all different faiths, okay? Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, atheists, secularists, spiritists, animists, tribal. A lot of them are unreached, and they haven't, we just haven't got there with the Word of God.
So when you say haven't heard the Word, you mean the Bible. They have never heard the Bible.
They might have heard parts of it, but not the real word-for-word living Word
right.
of God. Right?
Right.
The Word of God is active and living, sharper than a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It penetrates to dividing soul from
Amen.
Spirit, joints from marrow, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so they might have heard about organized religion or this Jesus fella, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's got all these layers and rules and regulations over the top. They never really have heard the true Word of God in their native mother tongue heart language.
Wow.
And once they do, look out.
Really?
And so Jeff asked a good question there. What's the distinctives of scriptures in use? So a lot of traditional missions were sending forth people who are called to teach and train and equip others. A lot of the times in the history of really the U.S. and other countries, it's learn the basically go to Bible college, go to seminary, learn the language, learn the culture, and then go live in that culture for usually 4 years at a time, and then take a 1 year furlough back to the States or wherever.
Right.
The SIU model is it's good, Jeff, you have a military background and.
That's a secret. We're not supposed to talk about that.
Fantastic Air Force pilot for 33 years. Okay, I'm gonna lift you up a little bit,
thank
brother.
Thank you, Kent.
Thank you for your service.
Keep going.
Thank you for your service, brother. And so you think about the SIU model. We have six missionary families who travel the world into these, let's just say, and a lot of it is in the 1040 window, and a lot of it is high-risk places, but they will travel and do training events called Bridges Trainings. We have three different sets of curricula. One's called Communication Bridges to Oral Cultures. That's the original one we've had almost over 30 years now.
Wow.
And now we also have a Bridges for Women training curriculum that Jesus' stories, and I digress a little bit, but Jesus has so many stories that release women from oppression, marginalization,
right.
abuse. Jesus lifts women up. In fact, I want to tell you this, the first person on this earth that Jesus acknowledged he was the Messiah was the Samaritan woman at the well.
Amen.
And I'm
Amen.
Just getting power through me right now
Amen.
Thinking about it.
Yes. I know, you and me both.
But once you find these men and women of peace in the culture, just like Jesus was doing in the first century, you know, he's telling parables and stories, going village to village, town to town. And, a lot of them are fully literate, okay? They're speaking Aramaic, they're speaking Greek, they're speaking Latin, but they're common men and women, okay? These are fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, harlots. He's living with the common men and women, and he's going with his 12 and his 72, village to village and town to town, knocking on doors, trying to find men and women of peace. So our leaders, our six missionary families, travel the world looking for men and women of peace who are receptive to the gospel. They show signs of hospitality. They basically allow us
to. So pretty much it's the same thing as Jesus saying, go into it. If they don't welcome you, then shake the dust off your feet.
Shake the dust off.
So y'all are doing the same premise.
We're doing the same premise. And now, interesting thing, it's a little different approach, is that we do these 3-day, 4-day, and 5-day trainings. We actually have our Bridges for Neighbors, which is outreach to Muslims. And it is taking off because they love the stories of the prophets and the straight path pointing to Jesus, Isa al-Masih, Jesus the Messiah. And basically they learn through the training that Jesus, Isa, is the final prophet, Messiah, not Muhammad. And actually the Quran points to him. I'll talk to that a little while. The holy word of God, the holy book, is divinely inspired. And simply sharing those stories with these incredible men and women of peace, a lot of them can't read or write. Now, don't think they're not smart, because a lot of them speak 3 or 4 or 5 languages. One of them we know speaks 12 languages fluently. And they're super bright, and they literally can memorize stories quickly. We have some of them memorize 30, 40, even 50 stories in the first year, word for word in their native mother tongue. And they memorize, and then they actually train up their own people. And so they learn, and we do it really a series of trainings called Bridges training events over a 3 to 5 year period. And once it takes off, they actually don't need any Westerners present. They don't need Westerner funding after a certain point. They've developed self-sustaining, bivocational approaches, and they're really bright. And it just takes off. We have a replication and a multiplication that is incredible. And so I want to call that a movement. I didn't answer the question, the orality movement. Movement is a...
Let's get to that to the nuts.
I'm getting going.
You are. And we're going to go to the next segment. And once you get going, we're going to let you go in the next segment. So the orality movement is where we're going to go next. Next segment, honestly, Kent has got so much, and I wanted to talk in particular about what's going on, especially with the Quran, because that is the coolest stuff. And I'm telling you, we did talk for 30 minutes going into this, and there is so much. I might have to have you back for another show.
I'd love to.
Because you got like hours of stuff.
I could.
If you got any questions, you got any comments for Kent, please give us a call, 520-790-5663. This is the Great Commission in action. This is the Great Commission, and it's exciting stuff, and we're so excited to share it with you. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Warren with Long Realty Company. As a wife and mom of 4 kids from a military family, I know the stress of moving, not once or twice, but 12 times. I cut to the heart of what's important in the real estate process to help you achieve your home sweet home moment. Call Jennifer the Realtor next door today at 520-665-3556 or visit my website, jenniferwarren.longrealty.com.
Hi, Financial Whiz Kid here with some tax advice for you. This year, you can make a charitable gift to Christian Family Care and help provide safe foster homes and caring parents for kids who really need them. The Arizona Foster Care Tax Credit lets you donate hundreds of dollars to this worthy cause and take a state tax credit for all of it, so there is no expense to you. And chances are, you can claim it on your federal taxes too. It's so simple, even a kid can do it. To learn more, visit fostercarecredit.org. That's fostercarecredit.org.
You know, sometimes our life in Christ is just plain hard. Hi, this is Whitney Capps with Proverbs 31 Ministries. A friend of mine is in a really hard place, and she said, I just thought it would be easier because Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. She was quoting Matthew 11. But you know, Jesus doesn't free us from a yoke. He places his yoke on us. A yoke is a means of keeping a farming animal in line, and Jesus is saying that when we surrender to him, we don't get control of our lives. Instead, we trust control to him. And because he leads us, the burden shifts from us to him. Life isn't easy, but when Jesus is in control, our circumstances don't necessarily change. But Jesus is infinitely more capable to bear that burden. Would you like to study passages like this one with us? Download the free First 5 app at Proverbs31.org.
Now it's time for your Daily Dose with Dr. Deb.
I think some of my most painful memories when I was an adolescent was feeling like I was invisible, like I just didn't matter to anyone. I was a chubby little girl and not particularly attractive. My girlfriends were all really cute and they all had boyfriends, but I just didn't. A lot of times it felt like I could literally be on fire and not one soul would have even noticed. You ever feel like that? Like you're invisible? As much as that hurts, I believe it's so much more important that we remember that we are never invisible to our Father, the lover of our souls. What if we remember today that He literally has the hairs on our heads numbered? And do you know that He thinks of you so many times during the day that there aren't enough grains of sand on the seashore to number them? That's in the Bible, so you can count that as truth, and that's a lot of love. That's also your Daily Dose from me, Dr. Deb.
You can learn more at drdebradio.com. Welcome back to Doing Life with Dr. Deb, the voice for the Christian community. If you'd like more information on Dr. Deb's books, articles, or podcasts, go to drdebradio.com. And now, back to Dr. Deb.
Welcome back to Doing Life with Dr. Deb, the voice for the Christian community. This is your host, Dr. Deb Waterbury. And I'm joined by my husband, Jeff.
Hi, Dr. Deb.
Hi, Lieutenant Colonel Waterbury. And we're also joined by Kent Kiefer from Scriptures in Use.
Hey, Deb and Jeff.
It took us a minute to get him stopped for it. He gets wound up. But he has a lot to say.
Yeah.
And it is all good stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, this is good, good stuff. And I think I'm learning something about myself. I think I might be an oral preference learner.
I think you are, from what you described.
Jeff thinks I'm a cave woman. But apparently,
that's so wrong. But that's all right.
We'll talk about that later. That's
in,
just
in
wrong.
Marriage
on
counseling.
All kinds of levels. Before we get back into that, though, let me remind all of you, if you have not yet gone to drdebradio.com and gotten your free ebook, you can go on over there at any time. drdebradio.com. Get your free ebook, Love, Faith's Foundations. That is my newest book on a devotion on the book of Colossians. So go on over there, give us your email, and you can download that book right now. And if you do not want to give us your prayer request right now on the phone, you can go to drdebradio.com and see that little prayer request tab at the top. And just click on that, and you can write your prayer request in. We have a team of people ready to pray for you right now. So you can write that in at any moment. DrDebRadio.com is where you can get all my books, all the articles, podcasts, and you can get all the other later podcasts from the series Jeff and I are teaching right now on heaven, if you've missed any of those. That's all at the website as well. So I want to turn you loose, but let me turn my husband loose.
Oh, well,
I'm still going to let you do it.
I don't think you were quite finished with the kind of where you were headed, so... Orality movement,
yeah,
right?
Do
you want to speak of that?
Yeah, I'd love to speak to that and then continue kind of those distinctives of SIU.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Movement, a lot of the researchers and mission agencies, mission organizations, how many believers, how many churches, how many, let's just say, followers of Christ are out there, and how quickly is it happening?
Mm-hmm.
And movement is a term where they would say 100 new churches or 1,000 new believers.
Mm-hmm.
Either or, kind of one of those things is happening in a community. What we are seeing now in this century, and the Rowdy movement is part of that, we're seeing more movements for Christ than we have seen in the previous 13 centuries combined.
Mm, amen.
And a lot of them are happening in Muslim mm-hmm. communities.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And so it's amazing a lot of the media, a lot of tradition, let's just say we'll focus on the negative side, the ISIS, the Boko Haram, the El Shabaab, all mm-hmm. the killing and the slaughter. And so, no, we are seeing incredible men and women of peace in these Muslim cultures. A lot of them are folk Islam. They don't know the full depths of the Quran. They're not fluent in Arabic. And they are men and women of peace who want to raise their kids well. They are looking for peace, and they're looking for hope. And they find it in Isa al-Masih. Jesus yes. the Messiah.
Yes.
And we are just seeing more and more of that happening wherever we do our Bridges for Neighbors training events. And that's a full 5-day. We have a 1 and a 2 course, but I wanted the distinctives of SIU. So these 6 missionary families I have right now, they will travel the world 4 or 5 times a year, and they'll do 2 or 3 week periods of time. They'll do a couple of these Bridges training events, depending on the audience and the people group, and then they'll stay with them and coach and mentor during the weekends, but the rest of the time they're back here in the States. And so, but coaching and mentoring continues through the incredible tool called the World Wide Web and virtual things. So we Skype a lot. Zoom is one of the new technologies too, but we call it dis-Skypling.
Okay.
Kind of a little play on terms right there, because they will get, I've been on some of these Skype calls. They're the indigenous leader. They're coaching and mentoring, and they're practicing stories and practicing what church planning means and disciple making. And this team of 6 missionary families, three of them are pretty new, and they're millennials, and they are incredible. They are passionate at what they do.
So what would one of those training events look like? So if one of these families were in one of these countries and they were going to do one of these Bridges training events with one of your peace, you know, the
men
people,
and
men and women of peace, what would one of those events look like?
That's great. So we usually try to gather that man or woman of peace who we know receptive to the gospel wants to start understanding the stories. There's a request somehow. It came through a word of mouth through an existing partner.
So there is a request.
They're usually through a proximity partner in their region.
Okay.
And every once in a while we'll get one through the webmaster. I need help. Want to learn how to story, teach my people. We'll try to work through that. But normally it's word of mouth. That indigenous leader will say, I want to invite 25 to 30. We try to keep our classes in that 25 to 30 size. If it gets too large, we do sometimes have 40, 50, 60 indigenous grassroots leaders, lay people from their own community, maybe trainers who have just wanted to start doing more with the word of God. They want to be trained and equipped. And so that leader will invite those local people. And so we never really know who's going to show up probably till the day of the event.
Wow.
And then our U.S.-based trainers will join one of their leaders, and they'll train together. Because usually the family, the man or woman of peace, or that family there will have a translator right there. That's why I said, even if they're not fully literate or even semi-literate, they know the languages there. They can speak 3, 4, 5 languages, and usually they speak English. So our missionary trainers don't have to understand their language. They understand ours, which is pretty amazing.
Oh, yes,
And so they'll translate. So those 25 to 30 on average leaders will go through either 3-day or 4-day or 5-day training. And usually by the end of the training, I'd say probably at least a third of them now are so excited to share the new stories they've learned. They're running back to their towns, their cities, their villages. They're jumping on trains, planes, they're on fire with the word of God. And when they get back home, they start with their families.
Amen.
They start right there in their own household.
Right.
And then they a little larger group, and so maybe it might be 2 or 3 families. And then next thing you know, you get that movement talking I was talking about. And they become oral Bible churches. I'd say small group fellowships. Ecclesia, not around a church building. It could be a building, but usually it's 2 or 3 gathered in the Lord's name.
Right.
And usually it's 10 to 15 of them in a home. House church is big in a lot of our indigenous leaders' areas. And so, and the next thing you know, you got multiple oral Bible churches, and you got many, many new believers and disciple makers.
Amen.
And it just takes off. Now, if the Western funding goes away, usually what we see is one of them will say, hey, I have a bunch of new things happening, and I, you know, let me tell you a little bit about, but we don't need your U.S. funding. Now, that comes over time with a mature partner.
Right.
Usually that first 3 to 5 years is that seed that you, and there's not a lot of money, if especially the indigenous leaders are leading it. It's usually $1,500 to $2,500 for that 25 to 30 people person group. And we could come back six months later and see 10 to 15 new house churches and 500 to 600 new believers. That quick. And because the word of God is active and living.
And it's just from them telling stories.
From them telling stories. And they learn how to tell certain stories as they mature. We do kind of a group our story sets into groupings around the agricultural cycle of farming. Okay, so stone clearing, sowing, watering, harvesting, training, and discipling. Kind of, we bundle the stories together in our curricula. When I say bundle our stories, think about stories of creation and stories of the beginning. Stone clearing. What are all these? Let's put all the faith worldviews on the table and let's deal with it. Let's clear some stones together. And to go so that, and then at least the stories of the prophets with the Muslims love the stories of the prophets.
Of course, mm-hmm. right.
Abraham and Moses, Abraham mm-hmm. and Musa are their favorites. But they, and actually there's pieces in the Quran that have half-truths to the stories of the prophets. Oh. They don't have the full story that we have in the Injil, the New Testament.
Right.
But there's enough there that leads it and points them to see Jesus the Messiah, mm-hmm. Isa al-Masih is the final prophet and Messiah. Not Muhammad. We don't say anything negative about Muhammad.
Right.
It just happens during the training. Mm-hmm. Some of them see visions of Jesus during the training too.
Really?
So yeah. We've had close to 9,000 Muslims go through our Bridges for Neighbors trainings. We've had over 245, almost 245,000 Bridges trainings over the last almost 31 years.
Wow.
About 34,000 women have gone through the Bridges for Women training.
Goodness
okay?
gracious.
And so about 202,000 have gone through that original course I talked about, Communication Bridges to Oral Cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So we customize the training based on the audience group present, knowing we have a core training that they all go through.
Wow.
And everywhere we do it, Jeff and Deb, it takes off.
Amen.
Everywhere we do it. Now, finding the right leader,
mm-hmm.
just like anything we do,
right.
finding the right man or woman of peace, and mm-hmm. we pray, Lord, draw them to us.
Right.
We've had over 100 different indigenous partner leaders and organizations over these now almost 31 years. We usually have 45 to 50 that are active in these regions. But some of them move on to a mature platform where they don't even report numbers into us anymore.
Right.
They're rolling. Okay, and the movement's happening,
mm-hmm.
and they say, hey, we found our own self-sustaining funding. We don't
wow.
need U.S. funding. We don't need these small training grants anymore. And we keep relationships, but sometimes we don't even see the numbers back. So those numbers I'm sharing are conservative. And over 404,000 new believers coming out of those trainings.
My goodness.
And that's conservative.
That is the Great Commission. I mean, that yeah. is the Great Commission in action.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It is, and it is because it's that oral tradition. It
yeah.
is, and you had said that once they hear God's name in their own language,
yes.
that makes the huge difference. And you can imagine that would make the huge difference.
Right, when you can identify with yeah. him, right? And it's not something far off.
Yeah, it's not
right?
a foreign thing.
Right.
right? And the house churches, small group fellowships, the ecclesia, over 71,000 of those. And that's, I want to say yeah. this here to all the listeners here in North America and the States. And small group works.
Oh, right? yes, it yeah. does.
Right?
It's my, and it works not just in the States. Small.
Yeah.
There is something about fellowship.
There is something
and it
about
works.
Sure.
It fellowship yeah. works here. And it works there. It works everywhere. It
yeah,
really. I
it
sound
does.
Like a Dr. Seuss book right there.
Yeah.
But it does. Fellowship it does. Works.
Fellowship
and small group works.
Works.
And I love the idea that the name of the Lord in
yes.
your tongue
yes.
is just a beautiful thing.
Amen.
And this is what Scripture is in use does. So when we come back in our next segment is when Kent's
yeah.
going to actually demonstrate
yeah.
a story.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to tell us one of his stories, and apparently Jeff and I have to take part in this. We're not.
You do. That's yeah. part of it. The interactive two-way nature of the
yes,
dialogue.
Yes, we're
right?
very excited about
very
that,
good.
Sort of. So, yeah, but Kent is going to be demonstrating what he does in Scriptures in Use when he goes to these people groups. So that's very exciting. If you want to give us a call, 520-790-5663. But stay tuned. We're going to get that demonstration right after we get back. Ask anyone in my family and they'll tell you that on my birthday, anniversary, Mother's Day, just about any special occasion, there's only one restaurant in town that I want to go to, and that's Bianchi's Italian Restaurant. Isn't that right, Jeff?
Yes, that's right. And now they have two locations. Their original down on Speedway and Silverbell, and the new one just east of Thornydale and Tangerine. It's easier than ever to get their great pizza and pasta whenever we want it.
I know, and I just love their homemade recipes and that old-world flavor that you can only get at family-owned places like Bianchi's. I've known the family for years, and they wouldn't have it any other way. The family-style dining and relaxed atmosphere of both of their restaurants makes you feel right at home, and the best part is they also deliver.
I also heard the new location has a family buffet every Tuesday night and karaoke nights every Wednesday.
You're right, honey, and they have a great private room for parties. So do what the Waterberries have done and make Bianchi's Italian part of your family, too.
Hi, this is Pastor Earl and Denise of Urban City Tabernacle Church. We're a spirit-filled, Christ-centered, family-oriented, urban Christian church.
We focus on clearly preaching and teaching biblical truth. We aim to make disciples of Jesus Christ that are empowered by His Word and Spirit. Join us for Sunday service at 10:30 a.m. and evening services at 6 p.m. We're located at 531 West Plata Street. Learn more at urbancitytabernacle.org or on Facebook.
Stop. Don't write your 2017 state tax check yet. This is Kim with the Institute for Better Education, or IBE. We are a private school tuition organization committed to removing any financial obstacles that stand in a family's way of providing the K-12 education that is best for their child. IBE accomplishes this through the Arizona Private School Tax Credit Program. You have a choice as to where your hard-earned state tax dollars go. Choose to keep them here in Tucson while making a difference in the life of a child at IBEscholarships.org.
Welcome back to Doing Life with Dr. Deb, the voice for the Christian community. If you'd like to join Dr. Deb on any of her social media outlets, go to drdebradio.com and follow her on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, or LinkedIn. And now, back to Dr. Deb.
Welcome back to Doing Life with Dr. Deb, the voice for the Christian community. This is your host, Dr. Deb Waterbury. And I am not going to waste one single second here.
Nice.
I know, because I want Kent to have his entire time to do his story. So, Kent, you take it away, darling.
All right. Thank you, Deb. One of the key things as one of the leaders of Scriptures in Use is to practice what I teach, preach. Except our six missionary families working with our indigenous leaders, they memorize stories so well. And our indigenous leaders, like I talked about, will memorize, let's just say, 40 to 50 stories in the first year as they go through the trainings.
Mm-hmm.
So I've memorized 8 stories, okay, and I'm going to do a story demonstration and dialogue with you two.
Okay.
Now I'm going to ask you to go ahead and put down your smartphones.
Okay.
Put down your Bibles, right? You know, and again, just close your Bibles. It's good to have the full printed Word of God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to ask you some questions, and it's a form of dialogue.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you questions within the story.
Good.
You don't have to be a theologian to answer these questions, mm-hmm. okay? There is the Holy Spirit is the best teacher
Amen.
Of all.
Amen.
And there's divine power in the Word of God. So as I go through this, okay, just kind of hang with me and look at me and talk with me. And it's the way Jesus did it with his disciples in the Middle East and all around the world.
Right.
So here's a little small group fellowship. There's three of us together. So we have ecclesia going on right here.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. All right. So a true story from the Gospel of Luke. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where there was a woman by the name of Martha who welcomed him into her home. She had a sister by the name of Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked him, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, and only a few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her."
Mm.
Okay, so that's just a simple 5 verses there from Luke chapter 10, okay, verses 38 through 42. I'm going to ask you some questions. Now, this is my mom's favorite story, and I'll tell you her dialogue, okay?
Oh.
And I had a group of women in North India give me a standing applause when the Lord taught them what was happening here in the story.
Okay.
And I'll explain that story, too, because it's pretty funny.
Okay,
So when the first passage started there, who was Jesus with?
His disciples.
Oh,
yeah, his disciples.
Okay.
Good. No,
minus
good.
One. Minus
That's
one
right.
for you.
And they were going on their way to a what?
A village.
Village.
Mm-hmm.
And right, that's the way Jesus and his disciples were walking from village to village, town to town.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The stories of how far they walked are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes,
they were. In shape.
Yeah, they were.
Right?
When they weren't in a boat.
Yeah. Yeah,
going
exactly.
back and forth across the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah. And what was the name of the woman that they encountered in that village?
Martha.
Martha. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And she opened her what?
Her home
to them, right? And so, hey, how many times do we open our homes to people traveling? You know, fellowship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
and if you're a good host, it's good to have people come into your home.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? No, but, you know, if you're not the right host and you're being mean to them and you want to kill them, you pretty much dust off your feet and probably go to the next village, right?
Right.
Or the next friend, right?
Exactly, yes.
And so she had a sister by the name of
Mary.
Right? Mm-hmm. What was Mary doing?
sitting at his feet.
Mm. Yeah, listening to what Jesus had to say.
Right.
Right. But Martha was what?
She was preoccupied doing something else.
Yeah, she was distracted by all the preparations. Mm-hmm. Exactly, Jeff. Right? And she went to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister, right, mm-hmm. has left me to do what?
All the work.
All the work, right?
Right.
All the food prep, preparing, all the, you know, doing a lot of work probably for the 12 disciples, Jesus, and probably others.
Oh, well, her right. brother at least.
Yeah, brother at least, Lazarus. We got some stories about Lazarus. We can
exactly.
get to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and what's amazing is, and she says, you know, so here's the creator of the universe. And
right.
Tell her to help me,
exactly.
right? What a barked order there,
I
right?
know, yes. The woman had guts.
Yeah, exactly. Tell her. And so, and how does Jesus respond? He says her name twice, right? Mm-hmm. Martha, Martha, Martha. You are worried and upset, right, about
many things,
right? Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. And only a few things are needed, or indeed what?
One thing.
Only one.
Yes.
Only one. There's a lot. Yeah. What's that? Only
one. Thing
one
is necessary.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, so I'm going to ask you too. So, and let me finish that way. But he says Mary has chosen the better of these.
Yes.
And it what? It will
not be taken from her.
Mm-mm. Okay. So let me ask you a question. So, opening with the story, what is Mary doing again? What is she doing when Martha's upset doing all the food preparation?
She's sitting at his feet.
Yeah. What does that mean to you? Sitting at his feet? Jesus is probably telling some parables and stories,
He's teaching.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And and he tells Martha at the end of that story what? That she has chosen?
The better.
Yeah.
Right.
The better. And so so what is that in this story set, in this story, this distinct story, the one thing, relate that to what? So he tells her she has chosen the only one thing, that she has chosen the better. The one thing is what?
To hear from Jesus.
Yeah, to hear from Jesus, right?
Yes.
And how many times are you distracted in all of what you're doing in life?
Right. To not hear from him.
Right? No. And you'd love those moments to just be sitting and listen to Jesus. Now, your devotion and your spending time with the Lord is important. There's so many stories, too. Even our Lord Jesus spending time with the Father.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so are you spending time listening to Jesus?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Finding, so there's some teaching there going on. Mm-hmm. So every time we story, the Lord's pressing on that heart and that mind right now. It's kind of thinking, you're trying, how can I apply this to my life?
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom says that one thing is what inspires her because she wants to live out her days pursuing Jesus
and
understanding his word. So she doesn't want to get distracted by preparing a bunch of big meals.
Right.
Now, I'm looking at Deb right here because, Jeff, you could be helping out with the home meals too. I don't know that. I'm just not the best helper in my house. So I had this group of Indian women. They were so excited to hear the story, but then it became who's going to, basically food prep. Well, I said, guess what we're going to do today? We're going to go order takeout. Now, they don't have Domino's and pizza and all that.
Right.
We're going to go to the local market. We're going to get the rice, the chicken. We're actually going to have somebody else service that we pay for. SIU is going to pay. When they found out they didn't have to do all the food prep, they basically were like, we get to spend more time with Jesus. The place went crazy. It was, I was a hero. I think one of the women followed me around till we left that night at 7 p.m. She was all smiles.
Oh.
I could tell she was probably one of the people who was doing all the cooking.
Exactly, yes. You gave her a night off.
And so there's a great idea that hit me, and I'm doing small group and we're doing story. Order food in. Now, I know it costs money, but don't allow the women to get lost in the teaching.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many stories of Jesus lifting up women too. And just, you need both. So we have both men and women in all of our trainings.
Yes.
We just do a special training with Bridges for Women because it really highlights, it releases them from all this oppression they might experience.
That's very good.
Yeah, but so that story is working on you too right now.
Yes.
Right?
And what it makes, because I was thinking, even in the mornings when I have my quiet time, my phone's sitting there. And I can honestly tell you there are so many times that I, without even knowing, I'll be praying and I don't even realize I've picked it up. and we'll start to check my email before I even realize that I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Because it's become so part of my business. You know, I'm already thinking about what I have to do for the day, and it happens before I even know it, and it's infiltrated.
Yeah.
What I have to do has infiltrated my time of hearing from Him.
Exactly.
So that's what I thought of.
That's good. So the Lord's working on you. What's important in your life? Mm-hmm. Am I, you know, and again, I've had people say, you know, I'm trying to do 1,000 things, and guess what? I'm not spending time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to recalibrate, readjust my life.
Right.
I'm going to start doing what Mary did.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm going to find time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we grow. So that's just a small application. There's a lot of applications.
Right.
And I can see, you know, and honestly, and think about the way that those women that you were talking about, the way that what they heard.
Yeah.
And what the appreciation that they had there for just getting, why can we not see that?
Yes.
What their appreciation was, you mean I get to spend more time with Jesus?
Exactly.
Mm. We often think, you mean I have to? I mean, I have so much to do, and I'm going to have to spend more time in the morning with Him. I mean, how the difference between what Americans often will take from that, and what others will, because it's new to them,
it's new.
And because they appreciate it so much, and we take it so for granted,
totally.
Because we can do it any time.
Yeah.
And so then we just start like, ugh, got to have my quiet time, and I've got so many other things to do, and.
Yeah.
There is I think there's a lesson there for those of us, and I know I need that lesson taught to me often.
Yeah, I think we all do. I mean, we all get caught up, right? And
so,
and these are not bad things necessarily.
No, it's again, it's trying to prioritize all the things coming at you, but the Lord should take priority.
Right. Mm-hmm.
God in the center and everything comes together.
Right.
I say that basically, if you're spending time with the Lord and taking everything to Him in prayer and thanksgiving, and He's going to show up. The Holy Spirit promises He will show up when two or three are gathered together.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing up right now, and He's working on the three of us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He always does.
He does.
And
yes.
I know, I don't know about you, but at any time I teach or any time I give a lesson, a story or whatever, I'm always impacted way more than the people that I give the story to or teach.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit is going to, He always shows up.
He always shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As interesting as I've memorized my 8 stories, and so I have some ones that I adjust with the different audience groups, and but whether you're using the NIV, the New International Version, or the NLT, the New Life Version, or you're using the ESV, the New King, pick a Bible passage that you like, that the words are, and again, we have interpretation from Greek, the Hebrew, all the different backgrounds in preparing that. But pick a version you like and go with it.
Amen. Right? Amen. Yeah. And that becomes your quiet time in the morning.
Does.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to come back with Kent here. For our last segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about Scriptures in Use and then let you know how it is that you can get involved with this wonderful ministry. We're going to be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Comstock from Lifestyle Spectrum here in Tucson. The truth is that none of us feel well if our hormones are out of balance or if our nutrition isn't up to par. At Lifestyle Spectrum, we offer a variety of services that are designed to help you look and feel better. From our weight management program to our bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. For over 15 years, I've seen so many lives changed with our programs. Let's make yours the next. Go to lifestylespectrum.com.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona Army National Guard, aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. That's right, we're heading back to the beaches of Rocky Point, Mexico, May 4th through the 7th. Join us for amazing sunsets, tasty cuisine, and a very relaxing 4 days south of the border. One price covers 3 nights at the Peñasco del Sol Hotel, bilingual guide, luxury transportation, and a day trip to the old seaport. Call Grayline to book it at 622-8811 or head over to graylinearizona.com.
Isn't it interesting that the things that often are the most difficult for us to receive in life is exactly what God is using to bring us blessing, not to wipe us out. God is behind those circumstances. We sometimes don't see it.
David Hocking shares more on what we miss out on when we only focus on the here and now. This week on Hope for Today. Join us.
Tune in to Hope for Today, Monday through Friday at 1 p.m.
Welcome back to Doing Life with Dr. Deb, the voice for the Christian community. If your church or organization would like to book Dr. Deb to speak at your next function, you can visit her website at drdebradio.com for all conference options and availability. And now, back to Dr. Deb.
Welcome back to Doing Life with Dr. Deb, the voice for the Christian community. This is your host, Dr. Deb Waterbury. We've been having a great time today with Kent Kiefer from Scriptures in Use, and we just had Kent telling us a little story about Mary and Martha and actually showing us and giving us an example of how you would do the oral tradition of the stories.
Yeah.
And Jeff had a great question for Kent, and I feel like he needs to actually
right.
ask this.
Yeah, because, you know, memorizing things, to me, I mean, I could certainly do better. I'm not very good at it. So my question to Kent was, is it important that we always tell the story the same way every time? That was a question.
It's a great question. And yes, this is a trademark of our trainings. Word for word very much matters.
Mm.
And because there's the divine power in the Word of God. And so actually during the training, and whatever version of the Bible, the New Living Translation, or let's just say the New International Version, whatever that translator's using, sticking to word is very important. So when they memorize these stories, they'll practice and demonstrate them. They'll probably do longer ones.
Yes.
I just did a 5-verse one. I kind of max out the 12 to 13 verse because mm-hmm. memorization is a challenge for everybody.
Yes,
right.
Yes, right.
And, but oral preference learners, which they say, I'm going to get back to the accuracy.
Right.
They say actually that approximately 80% of the 7.4 billion people in the world are oral preference learners. Now, Deb and I were talking. We have literate backgrounds. Grew up in a book society. We both write, but still, we like to listen and memorize and repeat and narrate and tell stories and probably do dramas. Mm-hmm. And we see the larger picture instead of breaking things down into analytical parts.
Yes, yes.
You are probably an oral preference learner like I am, but I'm literate. I grew up in a big book society. So just a few of you out there listening are probably oral preference learners.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to an audio show on the radio right now, which
right.
is a good sign.
Yes. No doubt.
Right?
Yes.
And that you don't have to have a white paper, analytical research paper, which is I can steal that. Deb can steal it. But the key is oral communicators learn. That's what they've been doing orally. They memorize so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But now the issue is they have some other stories in their community that probably are not from God. They're from local legend,
or that came up
some other story, and a frogman or a spirit demon, all these really weird things. During the training, they can't if they start hijacking a story like Jesus and his disciples were on their way to a village, and they came to, and they ran into a bullfrog who told them to walk the hill of knowledge.
Right.
No. Mm-hmm. They stop right there in the middle of the training. And they gently correct each other. You will see the group actually do that. And I don't want to say rebuke each other. They do it in a nice way.
Of course,
but
right.
they actually say, next up, they'll do it until they get it right.
Ah, okay.
Word for word,
okay.
as much as possible in their mother
right.
tongue.
Right.
Some of the challenges, too, is with translation. Sometimes they don't have the same word we
right.
do.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
So
mm-hmm.
they call it transliteration, where they try to fill in a word or a segment that's as close as possible.
Right, right.
Like angel. Some of them don't have the word angel in there. So messenger of God, one sent from God. They'll try to use that through transliteration, that
right.
local tongue language, that mother tongue, to get as close as possible to angel.
Right.
So sometimes some of our scripts and our manuals, we don't always have to have a manual. They say their hearts are their books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They will memorize. So one more thing. There's one of our indigenous leaders counted over 700 stories in the Word of God. Over 75% of the Bible is narrative story.
Really?
Yeah, over 75%. And then there's songs and poems and other things.
Right.
But literally he goes, I counted them up, and he said, I'm ashamed. He goes, I've only learned 36 stories my first year.
Oh, my goodness. Which means he memorized.
Yeah, he memorized 36 stories word
Amen.
For word in his own heart language.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was
And we
ashamed.
Complain because we yeah. can't memorize
yeah.
a verse.
Yeah, exactly. So there'll be an activity at this end exercise. I will challenge the listenership on an exercise. So I do it with all of our friends and family, and I try to do story, those eight stories I do. I try to match the audience I'm talking to mm-hmm. and walk it through, but you just, you don't have to make it complex. Mm. Here's things. Memorization is something that used to be naturally when you're growing up in school. People actually used to memorize the King James Bible in younger mm-hmm. ages.
I know.
We actually have taken out a lot of the memorization. And again, technology makes it easy because you got a smartphone, you got Google. You can pull every research topic up, right, instead of storing it to memory.
Right, right.
And so I will. There's a challenge I have with getting more involved. How do I use more traditional media in my life? And I'll give you all a challenge because I do it to all of the family and friends and our supporters at SIU. And I will share that here in a few minutes.
Okay, well, we only have like 6 minutes left. So go ahead and share.
That's good. All right. Hey, the power of the Word of God, the divine Word of God. The Lord actually calls us to meditate and spend time with Him, you know, and Deuteronomy 6, He talks about that with spending time, you know, basically wearing them on your doorposts, on the walls of your house, and interacting when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night.
Right.
I want you to try a story with your family. Mm. Now you can start with your spouse or your good friend. Someone who'll be a little gracious, okay?
And I can't start with my spouse. I need to find someone else.
Have some fun. Pick a story. And all of you probably have favorite Bible characters.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It could be Joseph. It could be King David. It could be Esther. It could be Jesus. I think he's pretty good.
Right.
Yeah, he could be good. So pick a story. Now, it doesn't have to be a long one. Pick a story and try to memorize it and practice it on your spouse. Mm. Okay.
That's a good idea.
Or your friend, or now it's got to be a little bit. You got to probably be at least 4 or 5 verses. I use the Martha and Mary one for a reason. It's right around the 5 verse mark.
Right.
So, but just don't do Jesus wept, where Jesus was crying about Lazarus being in the grave for 4 days there. You know. Okay.
Don't do that one.
Yeah, don't do that one. Please.
Oh, I thought you said do
it's
that.
It's great. Our Lord sees our grief and sorrow, and He has answers for that. But try a little bit. Right. You know, at least 4 or 5 verses, and have some fun with it. Hmm. And ask them now. The other side is ask them, what did I just tell you? Now, my teenagers at home, they want just to expose it. They want the analytical 3-point expository.
Right. Right.
And they can check out or sneak a peek at their smartphone during dad's talking. No. I ask them to memorize the story and dialogue it. Hmm. So we go around the room and we try to answer what the Lord was doing with that story within that story set. And I tell you what, I have seen a lot of growth with our teenagers. And, yeah, keeping teenagers focused is a pretty tough challenge.
Yes, that is, unless it's the smartphone.
Yeah, so I say, hey, we're going to do house church. We're going to do some story demonstrations. So that's one challenge I have for you all.
That's cool. Okay. I already have my story in my head.
Okay, good.
I do.
All right.
Because I have my favorite character.
All right, you want to share it?
No, I don't. No, I mean, I don't have it memorized.
No. You just tease us. Which character is it?
It's Deborah.
Okay, yeah.
Because I love the story of Deborah and how she had to go save Barack's behind.
Nice.
So, that's
awesome. I love that story.
That's my favorite.
There's so many ones. Okay, so that's one way. Just try. You know what? And actually, the Lord's going to teach you something. Mm-hmm. We need to do more of that in our small groups and our house churches.
Mm-hmm.
Go into a church. We go to Pantano Christian, but we try to gather in house church and do that as well. And the growth. We grow the most during small group fellowship.
Right.
We should challenge our small
group. We'll
to
make
that.
Them do that.
We won't make
if
them.
If you're listening, you have a challenge on Sunday.
We're not going to make them do anything.
Yeah, we'll make them.
So we have a little mantra I want to use, and I've got a couple other ideas for action items. Okay. So we use a little motto around SIU because every believer is a storyteller.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Every storyteller is a church planner. Ooh. Every church planner is a trainer and disciple maker.
Ooh.
So, and stories are non-threatening ways to talking to people. You could say, hey, I know a story that's probably very similar to what you're going through. Do you mind if I share that with you?
Mm.
And, you know, hey, would you like to hear a story? And also, I'm so sorry you're going through that. I actually think there's a story that I'd like to share with you that might help you.
Right.
It's a great way to start a dialogue with somebody.
No kidding. That's very good.
And very relational.
Yes, it is.
And stories are non-threatening ways to enter somebody's life.
Amen. Amen.
And
very
so that,
good.
So that's a challenge for you. Mm. The other couple of activities is we have a fantastic website called scripturesinuse.org. .org. That's for all the nonprofits. But scripturesinuse.org. It's got some great field testimonials. It's got some really cool videos. Mm-hmm. And just to get a little taste of it a little further. and not only going to this show's website, but just looking at that.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah. And then so there is a, now we have a free online Bridges training course, exposure, tip of the iceberg of how our Indigenous leaders do it.
Oh, excellent.
And it's free. You could self-pace yourself. It's basically called SIU for Scriptures and Use Training.org.
Okay.
SIU Training.org.
Okay.
That's free. You could get a certificate at the end
from
Belhaven University, one of our partners. Oh. And so it's self-paced. You can do it online as you go, and it really teaches you how to do it.
Right.
And what our Indigenous leaders, it's the tip of the iceberg to our normal 3-day,
right.
45-day training. But a lot of people go through it and really enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. I'll make sure that's on the Facebook as well. So if, if you miss that, you can make sure that you can get that there as well.
So before we end, right, I think if you could speak to us just one more time about what God is doing. I think there are some people out there who need to know that God is moving.
Yes.
One minute.
Just quick, just what he's doing and where.
That's fantastic. God released the gospel to the common men and women of this earth. You don't need to be an educated elite or a theologian. It's for the common man and woman. I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We're one of them, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's just say we're all part of these common men and women. The gospel is a simple message, and he does it through story.
Amen.
And you know what? You don't have to go through all these layers of burden. Just get to know Jesus, hear his words, and fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with his stories, and basically accept him as your savior.
Yes.
And basically he is there for you. Yeah. He is there. As you're knocking, he's there. He's waiting for you to seek him.
Amen.
And it's a simple gospel. Don't overcomplex it. And you don't have to be good enough. It's a gift of grace.
Right. Amen. So. Amen. Thank you so much, Kent. And so scripturesinuse.org.
Yes.
I will make sure that website and then the website where you can go and do the practice test.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us, Kent.
Thank you, Kent.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been a blessing for us. And I'm not kidding. I think I'm going to have you on again. So
okay.
Stay tuned. Thank God bless you all. Jeff and I will be back on tomorrow night to talk more about Home
SIU.
Sweet Home.
Oh.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, my love.
Thank you for listening to Doing Life with Dr. Deb, the voice for the Christian community. For more information on all of Dr. Deb's ministries, including her schools in Africa, please visit her website at drdebradio.com. That's drdebradio.com.